Flyover Politic Podcast, the show for normal Americans. From this undisclosed bunker, here's your host, Tony Reed.
And welcome back to Flyover Politic Podcast. It is the 14th of April, year of our Lord, 2024. Can we at least say for 1 second, the world did not get better under Biden? I'm not a MAGA guy. I think both parties suck. You follow the podcast. I don't like anybody. I think they all blow. But what is better under Biden? He has been trying to give money and has been giving money to Iran, and now they just attacked Israel. You understand that that's like really bad. That's like the worst we could fucking happen. That's like the end of the world type shit. This is World War III shit. This is bad. This is fucking bad. Like really fucking bad. Here is CBS and NBC last night when this broke. Because I was in bed and it happened.
The intercepted. A UK official confirms that those British jets have been scrambled from Cyprus. So what does all of this mean in terms of a response from the Middle East?
Well, you know, it seems that Israel really isn't alone here. I mean, the British are scrambling jets, as you said. We're also hearing reports that the United States forces have also intercepted some of these drones. Can't confirm that, but that's what's going around. Mm-hmm. So you have also Israeli defenses, and now the British appear to be involved. You have American defenses. The Jordanians don't want drones flying over their airspace. The Egyptians have just expressed concern. So there's a lot of defense going up around Israel and within Israel, but still, you know, this is a real game changer because it's the first time Iran has actually fired from its own territory. And this is really a massive attack, more than 100 drones. And there are even reports that I'm just saying on Israeli media that Iran has fired ballistic missiles at Israel. Again, reports from Israeli media.
Yes, that are at this point unconfirmed, but CBS News diligently working to confirm all that. Obviously, with breaking news, we're trying to sort out fact from fiction. Robert, we also see a statement from France's foreign minister saying, quote, France reaffirms its attachment to Israel's security and assures of its solidarity. So as you point out rightly, the rest of the world seems like it is mobilizing to try and mitigate the impact of these drones on their way now to Israel. And UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak put out a statement that condemned the Iranian regime, saying that the UK will stand up for Israel's security. Talk to us just a bit about how important the UK's alliance to Israel is in terms of this greater conflict.
You know, what's interesting is that, you know, these countries, the UK, the United States, and others have really been pressuring Israel on the Gaza war and the Palestinian issue. But now when it comes to Iran, which is really seen as a regional threat that everyone can agree on, at least in the West, this is very important to have the allies, if you will, the United States, UK, France, now lining up and backing Israel against Iran.
I want to almost underline what you said, Robert, because there has been more criticism of the strategies that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has employed in Gaza, the massive number of civilian casualties over there. But when it comes to an attack on Israel by Iran, we're seeing all of those allies who were perhaps putting pressure on Israel to change course now coming to Israel's defense. So what are the next steps for Israel?
I don't see.
Joining us now is NBC News Chief Foreign Correspondent Richard Engel. Richard, what are you seeing now?
So things have been developing here in Jerusalem, Andrew, over the last few minutes. It just stopped a moment ago, but I have a feeling it will start up again any second or in the next few minutes. So I am in Jerusalem. Behind me here is the old city. You can make out the old city walls. And a short while ago, we heard the air raid siren warning people to get off the streets. And now there are very few people still out on the streets. But what we saw here, which I have not seen here before, was an enormous amount of tracer fire, rocket fire in the skies. They seem like they were part of the air defense system, not the Iranian drones. They were coming from in and around this city, but firing up in that direction. And if we stay together for a little bit longer, I think you'll see more of it. At one stage, just in this sky behind me, you can see a little bit of it. You see an orange dot up high that's moving. I don't know if you can see that ball. Sometimes those, there, just exploded. Don't know if you were able to see
that. Yes, we can. But, we can see it, Richard.
Before, there must have been 50, 60, or 70 of those streaking across the sky here behind me as we heard the air raid sirens. So clearly there was a perceived threat. The systems went off, the alert system went off, and then these flares, these rockets, which have the ability to explode to potentially intercept these drones, were deployed in very large numbers. There's one streaking across the sky right now that I think you can see almost like an orange shooting star.
Exactly.
And a few more up above it, and now one coming in the opposite direction. And this has been going on for just about the last 20 minutes or so, which is right around the time that Israeli officials predicted that the Iranian drones would start entering into Israeli airspace. So we're going to keep following this and see what happens as this very unique air war, that was just an explosion there, is happening over the old city in Jerusalem.
Richard, to see this happening over the old city is remarkable because usually, well, specifically in this instance, we were told that they did not expect this to be going near targeting civilian areas. There could not be anything more dense than the old city.
Yeah. All of that is bad. It's interesting. This is from Todd in Oregon. It's interesting that comes down because we literally have this. The world is a dangerous place, and we have a president who doesn't seem to care about it. This is that. Iran launches dozen drones at Israel. One injured in attack. Recap. Nothing. You don't hear the end of days. If this was Trump, what would it say? World War III. This is NBC. Iran launches retaliatory attack on Israel that risks sparking regional war. Top U.S. officials are concerned that Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, whatever, quickly respond to Iran attack without thinking through the potential fallout. So what do? Iran attacks Israel. NBC, being good leftist, blames fucking Netanyahu and Israel for getting attacked. How it happened, Iran launched 200 drones and missiles at Israel. Do I have this one? President Biden said Israel and the U.S., I fucking hate ads, took down nearly all of them. The U.N. Security Council meets Sunday. Biden will be convening G7. Iran has vowed retaliation for what it called a deadly Israeli strike. That is blacked and hyphenated to go to an article. There's none about the Iran stuff. The remaining mission to UN, Iran now deemed the matter concluded. The EU and UN, Britain, Canada, and others condemn Iran's attack. But what are we going to do about it? Dick. British fighters went and fucked some shit up, which is really important. The one was from the New York Times. Iran mounted an immense aerial attack on Israel on Saturday night, launching more than 300 drones and missiles in retaliation for deadly Israeli airstrike in Syria 2 weeks ago and marking a significant escalation in hostilities between two regional foes. The strike caused only minor damages to a military base. 12 people brought into Sorka Medical Center in southern Israel overnight, according to a hospital. A 7-year-old girl was seriously injured. In the first public response overnight, Iranian Assault Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu wrote on X Sunday morning, "We intercepted, we blocked, together we will win." Nearly 99% of the aerial threats launched in Israel on Saturday were intercepted. Oh, it's no big deal. Just let it happen. They're Iran. They're the good guys. Fighter jets struck a number of targets early Sunday in a complex belonging to Hezbollah elite Rodan force in Lebanon. Israel warplanes struck additional Hezbollah structures during the night, the military said, after Hezbollah sent two explosive drones in Israel territory. The U.S. Defense Secretary, former top Army general, condemned the reckless and unprecedented attacks by Iran. And basically, nothing. We did nothing. Dozens of this is Israeli Defense Forces launched from Iran were identified approaching Israeli territory. The IDF aerial defense array successfully intercepted on the aero the dome thing. A small number of hits were identified, including an IDF base in southern Israel, where minor damage was caused. Many dozens of hostile aircraft, well as a dozen cruise missiles, were identified approaching Israeli territory from Iran and intercepted. For the past 4 hours, dozens of IDF fighter jets are currently operating to intercept all air threats approaching Israeli territory. IDF is deploying on all fronts, preparing to continue to defend Israel. Response: please give them a very disproportionate response. Now erase the Iranian Islamic terrorist group. This is a possible exo-atmospheric intercept Arrow 3 air defense system were actively during the Iranian ballistic. It's a picture I showed you. Show more replies. Dear Joe, that money you sent to Iran has just landed in Israel. Oh my freaking Lord, that is so good. Look at that. Boys and girls, that is truth. That's truth. This is a bad video. I'm gonna play this. This is a better video of everything. Let me play this. I'll play it in the video thing. This is the best video I've seen. I don't go to Twitter that much anymore because I really can't stand it. Let's go to our video. The media might not come out, but that's okay.
Iran fired hundreds of the most powerful missiles and drones directly at millions of Israelis. Iran has been attacking Israel for the past 45 years by ordering its vast proxy network to do it for them. Iran used to hide their terrorism behind other terrorists. This is no longer the case. Iran has come out of the shadows to expose their true face, the face of a radical and irrational regime that wants to end the entire free world, directly launching a coordinated attack with missiles.
That's interesting, because we don't seem to care. We just don't care. This administration, since Obama, since it's Obama's fourth term if Biden wins, they continually want to side with Iran, and Iran is the biggest supporter of fucking terrorism in the world. We just gave him money and it just landed, and we don't seem to care about it. So Next subject I wanted to get. On Thursday, before the House Judiciary Subcommittee on Constitution and Limited Government, former CBS News correspondent Catherine Heritage emerged to give her first set of extended public remarks about her sudden firing from CBS News and what she would describe as journalistic rape and crossing the red line that should never be crossed again in seizures of her files. Here are some sound bites from that hearing.
How fundamental to reporting is the protection of your sources?
Congresswoman, I have not lost a night's sleep about my decision to protect my confidential sources. That is the core of who I am as a journalist. I am facing contempt fines because I am upholding the most basic principle of journalism. If you cannot offer a source a promise of confidentiality as a journalist, your toolbox is empty. No whistleblower is coming forward, no government official with evidence of misconduct or corruption. And what that means is that it interrupts the free flow of information to the public. And as we all recognized, journalism is about an informed electorate, which is the bedrock of our democracy.
A sustained period of time for one of those networks. What of that? I mean, is that not true? It's not so much about your firing, your termination, whether it's because of Hunter Biden's story or whatever, but isn't that a problem? And how does a journalist who's independent and wants to call balls and strikes function in an environment where all the big media behemoths are captured by one side of the political spectrum?
Congressman, I've always tried to be respectful of my former employers. I worked at ABC News, I worked at Fox News, and I worked at CBS News, and I brought the same approach at every place that I worked, which is that it's about accountability journalism on the left and on the right and representing diverse points of view. This is so important in a marketplace of ideas. It's so important in a civil debate to settle issues in this country. And I feel that the Press Act, in guaranteeing these protections to sources, helps grow the voices.
Well, we're going to have another one from PBS soon. But the left doesn't like whistleblowers. And the problem with this is this was hitting meat. This was hitting meat. It was coming down on the fucking Biden administration. Right? And it, once again, is allowed to be stopped because that's what we do. Under Obama, they went after fucking James Rosen. Do you remember that? You can't be a journalist and be against the left. So then we got some shocking stuff. We're going to go into the shooting in a second. But this, I saw this and my God, this is horrible. All right. This is an attack in Connecticut. From what I garnered, a horrific footage showing a student at Greenwich High School's Connecticut being brutally beaten by a mob of teens while others stand around watching and cheering. The victim is left lying motionless on the ground. You won't see this story on the MSM. Teenage girl brutally shot by thugs in Sarin Park. She said the N-word and got hopped. Because it's a white person being attacked, the media will not cover this. Yup. Guys, please put the seat down when you're done. Girls, please put it up. I don't know what the fuck that's got to do. They basically, the one article I could find from the Connecticut Sentinel, brutally assaulted by thugs in Bearham Park and Greenwich while onlookers cheered on. Video revealed a white victim repeatedly getting pummeled by at least two black youths while a large group watched, yelled, and record. And then later in a first salesman, Greenwich, the first selectman and a citizen of our town, I was appalled at the video. We shared on social media. As always, violence of sort. I've been in contact with Greenwich Police Department. Suspects have been identified and that two have already been arrested with three arrests pending. The GPD's patrol division, the special victim section, tech divisions have all been involved in investigating the incident. If anybody in public has additional information, please tell us. The text is overlaid on the video. And they say in here that she said the N-word. At some time, she said the N-word. So, this is what it looked like.
Yeah. Oh!
No, God! 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 No,
Yo, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's why I'm up here,
Jay.
What is this?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
That's the end. She's lifeless. I can't find out if anything happened to her. I can't find any information on it. If she's okay, if she died. It's no different than this video. This is a group of teens. This is in California. Going in and robbing a jewelry store. Okay. That's probably bad. So it brings us to the reason I started this section. The death of Dexter Reed. The media is trying to push a new George Floyd movement after police shooting in Chicago. All right. This, on the other hand, how did a traffic stop not wearing a seatbelt end with 96 guns, an injured officer, and a dead 26-year-old? Some say it was because Dexter fired at officers first. As the investigation shows, some believe the stop never should have happened in the first place. So because the cops pulled him over for a thing they didn't like, we should just give up laws because he's black. It's the same thing we always get. He's black, just give up laws. Don't do laws. What are you doing? Don't do laws. The media really, I mean, because it's election year, come on. They would love another Floyd. They would love another Floyd. Dexter Reed killed by Chicago police of track spot. Dexter Reed shooting video. COPPA released body cam of deadly Garfield. 96 shots fired in fatal traffic stop. Seatbelt check. Cops fire 96 shots. Black motorist killing him. Video shows Chicago police fired nearly 100 shots. At no time in any of this, at no time did we say he had a weapon. He fired the weapon. His mom was brought on TV. I don't want to be a dick, but I have to say, I don't have it, do I? No. The mom was brought on TV and she literally was not crying. There was no tears, but the typical, race hustler was next to her. And she said the following. He was just riding around his car and they killed him, Mother Dexter Reed. False. Dexter was pulled over by a traffic shot and responded by shooting at the police. There was another George Floyd moment and are looking to martyr. The media is also coaxing it. Trying to get it up. By lying about the story. Here's the full video. Dexter Reed fired 11 times. He emptied his clip at the police. And here is the body cam video.
Unlock the doors now. Open the door now. Open the door now. Open the door now. I'm 6-4 David. Shots fired. Shots fired. Hey! Hey! Shots fired. Fernanda Neighbors. Fernanda Neighbors. 10-1. 10-1.
Fire!
Hey!
Shots fired.
They were throwing that gun fire!
I'm going to do something I rarely do on one of these. 96 rounds is probably a little excessive. It wasn't necessary. But it was provoked once again because this pillar of the community refused to open the fucking door. If you don't open your door and you don't do what you're told, and you pull out a fucking gun, well, guess what? If you shoot said gun at said police officers, you're going to said get shot. But in some of these cases, can't you just have a designated marksman? There's a place called Fremont, California. Noise the shit out of me. They're on live PD. They literally will be outside a door, going to clear a room. Jim, you go to the left. Fred, I'm going to go to the right. I'll go through the middle. Make sure you stay slow. Look to the corners. Button hook. And go. So the enemy knows what the fuck you're talking about. If it was a bad guy in there, he already knows what you're talking about. But they do designated marksman, less lethal, blah, blah, blah. Granted, there was a car there. Try to open the door. The dude pulled trigger. They bailed. Yeah. It's pretty bad. It's really bad. But what is the media supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Or the police? What are they supposed to do? I want to play this one because I watched this yesterday. I don't know if I can find it. My wife watches a lot of shit. I'm going to pause for a second. Okay, I saw this yesterday. My wife's really into this critical report, and they go over these shootings. This never was brought on the media. I never heard of this. It's from North Dakota. The reality is this is a Syrian national who had been searching for fast kill, explosion. He had a bunch of weapons, and the FBI had a tip that this guy had a lot of weapons and explosives, and they did nothing with it. So an accident happens, and these four cops are doing the accident, and they have the one vehicle move off the road and park in a parking lot. They're dealing with it. They're doing, you know, trying not to get hit. They got this newer cop. He needs to go do interviews. They start walking towards that car that's in the parking lot. There's a dude in a car with a rifle. He shoots all of them, kills one, critically injures the other, shoots a lady. It's very violent. So this one's one, if you don't want to see death, then don't watch this because the cop dies. You hear him scream and he dies. So it's rough, but I'm gonna push play because this is what cops are facing, but we don't talk about that.
Shooting at us. We're at
Central, shots fired, shots fired. We got three officers down. Send everybody.
I'm trying to see if I can get the better one. They won't show the one I got. That's not the one I watched. It's fucking vicious. Yeah, I can't find the one. You see one where he dies. You see him die. They walk towards that car, and they just get blasted. They didn't see him because they're so preoccupied. They didn't see him pull in. He went past, turned around, pulled in, had his windows blacked out. They're so focused on the accident, they didn't notice the guy stopped. He pulled a rifle out. He was sitting in the window. He shot them from 10 feet. They never saw him. But we didn't see that because it's a Syrian national. It's a terrorist attack. It's Obama, Biden. What's the difference? And we're not going to put that in the news. We're going to say that a guy got shot because he was black, because that sells and helps Democrats. Here's Jesse Waters covering it. It's a good segment.
It's an election year, and Joe Biden's in trouble. One reason why? Donald Trump's attracting blacks. Yesterday at Chick-fil-A, it was all love.
I don't care what the media tells you, Mr. Trump. We support you. We support you. Okay, 4 p.m. We've been 4 p.m.
Come here, let me give you a hug.
Please do.
The media knows which way the wind's blowing, so they're trying to stir things up. The George Floyd death and the riots that followed energized the base and kept the black vote in the Democrat column. And now the media is trying to run it back. But we caught them. 3 weeks ago, Dexter Reed, out of Chicago, shot by police during a traffic stop. He's black. 100 shots were fired. Here's the family.
Why does the police keep doing this to young black African men? If he was supposed to get pulled over for a traffic stop, why did they have 4 guns pointed at him? He was scared.
He had just bought his new car 3 days before that. And he was just riding around in his car. He said, Mom, I'm going for a ride. Yeah. And they killed him. They killed him.
Reed's family's upset, and we're so sorry. There's nothing like losing a child. But they're not telling you the truth. Dexter Reed opened fire on police. After he was pulled over, he shot at police first, and they returned fire. His gun was recovered, and he'd emptied his clip. We'll show you the video in a second, but look at these headlines. Seatbelt violation ends with black man dead on Chicago street after cops fired nearly 100 bullets. Police fire 96 shots in 41 seconds, killing black man during traffic stop. Deadly Chicago traffic stop where police fired 96 shots raises serious questions about use of force. Not one of those headlines tells you that Reed is the one who started the shootout. The media is looking for another George Floyd. The Chicago mayor is in on it.
As mayor and as a father raising a family, including 2 black boys on the west side of Chicago, I am personally devastated to see yet another young black man lose his life during an interaction with the police.
An interaction with the police? He opened fire on police.
It's criminal. What they do is criminal. And it's not just occasional. It's not a one-off. It's not me being overzealous, a mega conservative. You listen to faux news. I don't listen to any news. Every fucking news now is garbage. It's all garbage. They are purposely lying. And they do it every fucking time. It doesn't matter. Remember, we started this with Trayvon Martin, a angel boy walking home from Bible study, and a white Hispanic murdered him. Do you remember that? That's when we got the first taste of far, far left intersectionality on, well, if you're an Arab, you're a white dude. You got to be black, black. Light-skinned black people, you're white too. And we use that forever. Hispanic, it was a white Hispanic in Minnesota. Another one where a guy shot a guy, shooting down. He grabbed his gun and he shot him. And that was all over the paper, but then people didn't buy it, so it went away. This one came back because they missed it. They're too busy doing other crazy shit. Like, how about CNN? Fueled by misinformation, CNN downplays Christian fears about Biden.
"44% of Americans say the Bible should have at least some influence on U.S. law.
Do you think, is America a Christian country?
I believed that growing up I did.
Yeah. Founded as a Christian country?
Yes, it was founded as a Christian country.
But obviously in the Constitution there is that separation of church and state.
Yes, but then there's also always, when I went to public school, we were allowed to pray.
When you say Christianity is under attack in America, you're talking about in the schools, the teaching of...
Not so much in the schools, but I just can't come up with anything right now. But I think the biggest thing is I just don't trust Joe Biden.
Some of these fears are fueled by misinformation.
And what the hell was Biden thinking when he declared Easter Sunday to be Trans Visibility Day?
International Transgender Visibility Day takes place every year on March 31st. This year, Easter Sunday also happened to fall on that day.
I think more that Christians are going to be discriminated against under Biden in his second term.
What do you mean by that?
By making yesterday, which was the worldwide Christian celebration of the resurrection, Transgender Day. That was quite a slap in the face.
I will just say that the date, they've had the Trans Awareness Day on the same date the past few years. It just happened that this year it fell on Easter Sunday.
Thank you for correcting me. I appreciate that.
So do you understand it better now?
Yep, I do. God loves trans...
They try so hard to make him what he's not. He's not a good Catholic. He believes in abortion. And the left loves abortion. Nets proclaim game changer. Arizona ruling means abortion will define 2024. They're so fucking excited. Reid demands women wake up to fight back against GOP's war on women. We got the war on women again. Fuck, man. It's like we're reliving 1612. Fucking Rush Limbaugh's been resurrected, and we are fucking reliving good old days when the media was just so, so into it. Pouncing. Networks hype Arizona abortion politics. CNN anchor Casey Hunt runs two. Oh, we're going to get this next. I fucked up. This is the next batch of shit. So here's just abortion, because it's an election season. And they think the Arizona abortion is going to get them everything now.
People say it may sound like a joke, but a lot of people are saying, unfortunately, it is not a joke. And that is where we're going to begin today with Arizona's, I know you've heard about this, the Supreme Court reinstating a law from the 1800s, that bans nearly all abortion in the state. And it could have a big political impact in a very important swing state this November.
This could be a game changer. And not only are Democrats denouncing this decision, many Republicans in the state are rejecting it too. It means that Arizona, a battleground state that has been trending Democratic, may soon be home to one of the toughest abortion bans in the country.
You called yesterday's decision a dark day in Arizona. I've heard people use the phrase, it's like, is this Handmaid's Tale come to life in real life? How should we all be processing this? What are you thinking? You know, Governor, when the interview first started, you used the word reeling. I think a lot of people are feeling that way. How did it come to this? I think many people who woke up and heard this news yesterday, woke up this morning and heard more of it, are thinking this was a civil war that was around during the Civil War.
Yeah.
Women couldn't even vote. How does this happen in 2024 in your state? with you at the helm. I
mean, another state now bracing for one of the strictest abortion bans in the country.
Abortion rights showdown. New fallout after Arizona's state Supreme Court revived a 160-year-old law. President Biden calling it extreme and dangerous.
In a landmark decision, the Arizona Supreme Court justices have now cleared the way for that ban to go into effect, and it is turning up the heat on an issue that could define this election.
It is very clear that this issue is going to be at the center of this presidential election.
A bombshell court ruling in Arizona,
thrusting the abortion issue front and center in a make or break battleground state.
This man, according to the New York Times, has been crafting a plan in the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 that would circumvent and leverage the regulatory powers of federal institutions, including the Department of Health and Human Services, the Food and Drug Administration, the Department of Justice, and the National Institutes of Health. Here's what Severino said when the Supreme Court ended abortion access.
The federal government has an absolute role in this. There cannot be now two Americas. One America where unborn life is protected and another where unborn life is treated as the equivalent of medical waste.
Yeah.
Right? That is untenable. This has to be settled nationally. A house divided against itself cannot stand.
Yeah.
We can't have two classes of Americans.
Quoting Lincoln. Well, it's pretty grotesque, isn't it, for this man to pimp the civil rights era and even the Lincoln legacy as an excuse to further restrict women's constitutional rights across the land, which is exactly what he intends to do. It's all laid out in a lengthy Heritage Foundation proposal that would require renaming HHS the Department of Life, ending access to mifepristone,
I assume the world is freaked out about the second possibility.
Well, yeah. Okay. I mean, look, you've just been talking about something that's freaking out Americans, which is this Arizona law from pre-Civil War.
Yep.
And that is being really looked at, especially in democracies where there are codified women's rights and human rights. France, for instance, on International Women's Day, March 8th, actually signed into law a constitutional amendment to guarantee a woman's right to make choices about her own body, abortion, and other things. Yeah. And
do many countries have that?
Not necessarily. No, they don't. But this was a sort of a demonstration of will by, you know, a country that was very supportive of your revolution, to show that this is universal human rights and that women actually need to be treated like adults. And whether it's Afghanistan, Iran, or the United States, a bunch of grumpy old men shouldn't be making.
My favorite was the last one, where we are literally going to say that we are like Iran, a country that poor likes. She's all down with that shit. You know? Pro-lifers, Iran, the Taliban. Yeah! That's good. Then we had the NPR. This is the NPR chief executive, Catherine Maher, addressed the Criticism Network this week, questioning whether our people are serving our mission with integrity based on little more than a recognition of their identity. It's profoundly disrespectful, hurtful, and demeaning. It is deeply simplistic to assert the diversity of America can be reduced to any particular set of beliefs and faulty reasoning to infer that identity is determining of one's thoughts or political leanings. Each of our colleagues are here because they are excellent, accomplished professionals with an intense commitment to our work. We are stronger because of the work we do together, and we owe each other our utmost respect. We fulfill our mission best when we look and sound like the country we served. Responses. What? There were numerous examples in the piece how NPR has gone off the rails, refused to correct itself, and more, none of which was based on identity or those who did it. How do you get the job without any ability to read? Anytime someone used the word hurtful outside of speaking to five-year-olds, you know you couldn't affect real position. So Cuomo frets NPR will target whistleblower who expose their liberal bias. This is Chris Cuomo.
So for those who are sitting there saying, I knew it, NPR, those laconic lefties, you know, with that slow delivery and just feeding us all of this. Are you saying that's the truth, or are you saying it's something that has evolved? What do you want people to feel about NPR and what you feel about the media in general?
I think it's evolved. You know, I've been at NPR a long time, 25 years. You could say I'm a lifer. And it's a place I've always loved working. But when I started, there was a liberal orientation, but I think we were more guided by curiosity, open-mindedness. You know, you said, talked about policy. We were kind of nerdy and really like to dig into things and understand the complexity of things. That I think that's evolved over the years into a much narrower kind of niche thinking, a group think that's really clustered around a very selective progressive views that don't allow enough air, enough spaciousness to consider all kinds of perspectives.
So you use some very powerful words that people kind of see as sacrosanct, whether it's, you know, indicating bias of what people call woke these days, or political correctness or cancel culture. You know, these are often seen as instruments of the left. One, were you worried that, I hope you saved up your money, you are a business editor, so hopefully you're good with your own investing, because they're going to kick you to the curb and nobody's going to want you, especially as a, you know, a white guy, you know, who's not 18. So what do you make of going after these sacred cows?
I'm not worried. I think people want open.
Cuomo. When Chris Cuomo calls you out, you're fucked up, yo. You're fucked up. You're just fucked up. Then we have CNN anchor Casey Hunt runs two free Democrat ads and lecture on Trump and Roe appeal. This is CNN. And then we're going to show NBC laments bad inflation report, a challenge for the Biden Cafe campaign.
Taking care of, I think, very quickly.
Would you find an actual working man's
No. Trump is trying to sound more moderate on an issue that has galvanized voters from Ohio to Kansas to Kentucky to vote to protect abortion rights. But this Arizona law and restrictions similar to it in other states, they are in force because of Donald Trump. Recall, how did he win the Republican nomination in the first place? Back in 2016, he released a list of 11 Supreme Court justices he would consider appointing to convince skeptical evangelical voters, who are the bedrock of the Republican base, that he, Trump, was one of them, or at least that he would act like one of them. Then, to hammer that home, he picked the very publicly pious Mike Pence as his running mate. And then he was elected president, and he transformed the Supreme Court.
Today, I am keeping another promise to the American people. By nominating Judge Neil Gorsuch, I will nominate Judge Brett Kavanaugh, Judge Amy Coney Barrett.
In June of 2022, after nearly 50 years, the court struck down Roe versus Wade. And Trump, who is now trying to say that he doesn't support the strictest restrictions that have been exploding in red states across the country, he has repeatedly bragged about how he made that possible.
We ended Roe v. Wade. We terminated Roe v. Wade. I was able to terminate Roe v. Wade after 50 years of trying.
The results have been stories like this one, told in a Biden campaign ad, yes, but about a woman, a family who wanted their child, wanted a child, and were devastated by the consequences of the fall of Roe.
It's the outfit that she was gonna maybe wear home from the hospital. All of these. This is the blanket that she was in.
It's okay.
There's also Kate Cox. She's the Texas woman who also desperately wanted a baby. When she was told that her baby likely wouldn't live for more than a few days outside the womb, she sought an abortion to try to protect her ability to try again to have a child.
We'll turn now to the economy. Stock markets way down across the board today. The Dow losing more than 400 points after disappointing news about inflation. The government said inflation accelerated to 3.5% in March from a year ago. That was up from a 3.2% increase in prices in February.
Another challenge for the Biden campaign, the economy. With today's headline that inflation ticked up again, even higher than expected. Housing and gas prices accounting for most of it. Overall, prices up nearly 19% since President Biden took office.
All right. Here comes Maxine Waters. Add exception to her Trump-era rule of harassing people in public. The California Democrat and vehement critic of Donald Trump made the comment on Saturday, first at a rally in Los Angeles, later in a television interview. The comment, which comes after several Trump administration officials have been recently protested at restaurants, have raised fresh questions about the state of American politics. Lakes Murray, sure, we show up, whatever we have, show up, and if you see anybody from the cabinet, it's all my This Is America. So, this, and I forgot to download, so there goes my perfect streak of not being fucked up this show. What are we talking about? I've been fucked up all the time. So this is what she decided to say this weekend, which hold on.
As a member of Congress with people, you know, who evidently had a racist attitude and recently one even confronted me in a restaurant. And they don't say racist things, but right. What they say is they don't like something I said. They don't like a position that I took. But you know that, you know, if you were not black, you would not be approached that way.
Right, they probably would not. Right, they would think twice about doing it. They think that they can get away.
If you weren't black, because I remember every Trump official was fair game. That's what you said. And now you get butthurt over it? Really? Really? The next one, I'm going to do it live because I really, I love this stuff. I remember the O.J. Simpson trial. See, I was a drill sergeant, and where we were was super fucking racist. We were talking big time racist, and it was reverse racism. It was South Carolina. There was a freaking Confederate flag on the Capitol. I mean, it was ugly, and we had neighbors, which if people that show before I've already told this, but we had neighbors that were racist. And they got rid of every white couple by doing stuff and getting them to make a complaint and then do a counter complaint that it was them, really. So by the time this ended up happening, my wife gets assaulted by this lady in the PX. All three of the undercover people are black, and they have the black lady, and they took her statement and ignored my wife. It was so bad that they made us go to the post sergeant major, and I literally went off and broke decorum and got in trouble because I said, my wife just got her ass beat by a racist lady, and you're in here asking me what we've done? We've done nothing. We just live. He's not a drill sergeant. My wife has asked three times to make her kids that they're underage in the house, screaming and yelling. One day, and the reason why the mom attacked my wife, their kid was chasing somebody with a steak knife. And my wife says, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to say anything. And the cop said, ma'am, you need to tell me what's going on. Stopped her car. And she told the truth. And they arrested the kid. And so the woman found my wife and beat her up in a PX. But with the undercover officer, they said, well, she did hit him, but I think she said something racist. And then a black guy came forward and goes, I was standing right next to her. She didn't say anything. She had her kids, and this lady started doing haymakers on her. I remember pulling up. My wife was crying to the side, and I was brokenhearted. So I ended up fucking us. We had to move off post. We had to pay for everything. But it was fucking horrible. So when this happened, I went to see my wife at the PA or at the NCO Club. She was working, taking the buffet money during the day, just to have an extra job. And all the African-Americans in the room cried when O.J. Simpson got let off. They were screaming, and it was just really weird because I didn't understand why they give a fuck. Like, a white guy, Bruce Jenner, is now Caitlyn Jenner. I don't lose sleep over it. I just think it's fucking weird. But he was a hero when I was a kid. I don't give a fuck if he goes to jail. But for them, it was a national thing because we already had Rodney King, and there was just a lot of shit that people were pissed off about. So this O.J. Simpson, him dying, brought up a lot of these racists. And, of course, the media showed white people going, this is bullshit, he's guilty, blah, blah, blah. They didn't show the black people crying and dancing in the streets and thinking it's the greatest thing ever that a black guy just murdered two people and got away with it because he literally confessed to it in another interview, and everybody saw it, but nothing happened. So here's Sonny Hostin saying, well, it's good because cops are racist and shit and they kill people.
I think it was less about his guilt or innocence, and rather about the system and how the system treated African Americans and continues to treat African Americans in this in this country. You have to remember, and putting it into context, the acquittal of the officers who beat Rodney King almost to death in front of the world's eyes was in 1992. Mm. This happened in 1994. And I think for the black community, it was less about whether or not OJ did it, because I think even today you'll go to, you know, barbershops and beauty salons and people will say he did it, but he got away with it. And the police officers, police officers have killed many more people than OJ Simpson.
Also, they probably, I think trust.
So basically it doesn't matter. That makes sense. That's kind of how, you know, we are as a country. I mean, it makes sense. Then we have this. Rashida Tlaib lost it at Fox Business. Hillary Vaughn, who asked if she condemned the Death to America chants at a rally in her district. The White House condemned the chants in a statement to the Daily Caller. But Tlaib, oh, fuck me, she lost her shit.
Congresswoman Tlaib?
Fox News. I don't talk to Fox News.
At a rally in your district, people were chanting death to America. Do you condemn?
I do not talk to Fox News.
But do you condemn chants of death to America?
I don't talk to people that use racist tropes.
Why can't you just say whether or not you condemn people chanting death to America? Why are you afraid to talk to Fox?
Fox News is not using racist tropes towards my community is what Fox News is about, and I don't talk to Fox News.
Is death to America racist? Is chanting death to America racist?
I'm talking about your guys' racist tropes. You know, you guys know exactly what you do. I know you're Islamophobic, but you guys gotta go deal with it on your own self.
She's a fucking racist. Any way you cut it, she's a fucking racist piece of shit. And that people elect her shows how bad Biden is, or Obama was. He got all these people. That's Syria and North Dakota. How'd he get there? Obama. They put them all up there so they could keep North Dakota, try to win North Dakota, Wisconsin, Michigan. They threw all these people because they were losing white voters. So they put illegals and made them legal. Scoop. This is just good shit right here. I'm going to read this, and I want us just to pause for a second. Biden plans to soon issue an executive order to dramatically limit the number of asylum seekers who cross the southern border. He'd be taking a page from Trump, who leaned on the Section 212F of the Immigration and Nationality Act. How about just enforce the fucking law, jackass? Biden used an interview with the Spanish language broadcaster Univision and aired Tuesday to send a massive signal that he plans to issue an executive order to dramatically limit the number of asylum seekers. Axios told that while it's not final, such an executive order is likely to be in the end of April. Why it matters? Well, told there's a fierce debate internally about the legality and politics of Trump-like lockdown. Biden briefed on polls of rising voter anger and wants a dramatic step. Zoom in. We're examining whether or not I have the power, Biden told Univision. Enrico Acevedo in an interview taped last week and aired Tuesday. Some are suggesting I should just go ahead and try it, Biden said. And if I get shut down by the court, I get shut down by the court. Responses. It's getting close to an election, so I've got to temporarily stop the invasion. No, we're not told he was powerless to do anything without Congress. This will be interpreted by migrants who have been waiting in Mexico for months that the border will be closed. Don't be surprised to see a mad rush. Biden got rid of Trump limits on open border and now is reinstating Trump limits on open border. What a fucking hypocrite. I want to make sure we understand these and lefties, they are fighting to get this piece of garbage elected. This is a montage. I'm going to pause it because it came up all fucked up. Now, we have said many times on this show that we said Trump walking down a ramp in the rain when it rained at West Point meant he was not fit to be office president. His lisp, him saying words weird, his slur was cocaine, that we need to fucking invoke the 25th Amendment because Trump was not only insane, but he was physically incapacitated. What is this? Who walks like that? Who walks like that? Who the fuck walks like that? He looks like a fucking zombie. Sorry, my leg fell asleep. Then we have these little nuggets.
Well, Fumio, welcome back to the White House. Welcome back to the Oval Office. It's good to have you here. Good to see you again. When we were here last year, we said the role being played by the United States and Japan is becoming even greater. And I couldn't agree more with your assertion back then. And
I want you to understand that he's looking at a fucking note card to greet the president of Japan, the prime minister of Japan. Note cards.
What we see in our joint support for Ukraine in the face of Russia's vicious assault is just outrageous. Okay. Third, next question. Who do I call on next? Hang on.
He reads the notes that he's given. Is that the President of the United States? Is that what the President of the United States should act like?
Hang on a second, I got my list here. Hang on. I apologize. Aurelia of AFP. Elect me. I'm in the 20th century.
He doesn't even know what century he's in.
21st century. From the very beginning, I used to teach the Second Amendment in law school. From the very beginning, there were limitations. You couldn't own a cannon. You couldn't. You could own a rifle, a gun, but there were
weapons
certain things
war.
You couldn't. But they weren't weapons of war.
So he was a lifeguard. He drove a semi. He marched with Martin Luther King. Got arrested for Nelson Mandela. Beat up Corn Pop. Taught constitutional law and became a politician in his 20s. He still has time to shower with his daughter. Very impressive. Wait until he learns that not only could you own cannons, but whole warships. 600-ton, 26-gun ship Caesar of Boston would like to have a word. No one ever excused Z and Barry Boy Joe of having a functional brain. What is this? Full-scale field cannon. $13,000. You can buy it with Google Pay. That's really interesting. It's very interesting. New poll. This poll comes from Daily Caller. New poll throws wrench in Dems dreaming of winning state where abortion is on the ballot. A poll released on Thursday found President Joe Biden down by double digits against former Donald Trump in Florida following the state Supreme Court ruling to allow abortion and amendment to ballot in November. Trump led Biden 51-38 among registered Florida voters, with 11% remaining undecided, according to an Emerson College survey, which would put it at 49-51. The poll also found a plurality of voters are supporting the abortion ballot measure at 42%, including 35% of Trump voters, 58% of Biden supporters, while 25 opposed it, and 32 weren't sure. So what will Democrats try running on now? Being anti-Semitic, douche nozzles, demanding Israel cease fire, even though Hamas doesn't have enough hostages left alive to release, insisting Biden has created jobs, even though we all know they're part-time or government, or maybe they're all just lying us to how democracy is on the ballot right next to decency. Abortion was their big push, if you will, and the obviously doesn't matter in a state like Florida, which they need to win. They do. The problem is they don't seem to understand the American people. They're not down with this bullshit.
We live and work within systems, and those systems, as I mentioned before, are so deeply rooted in patriarchy, in colonialism, in racism, in otherism. We tend to be very resistant to shifts and changes. It's very uncomfortable for many colleagues often when you are the voice in the room that says, this doesn't sound right to me, or I have a question about how this is supposed to work. I want Black women's voices to be heard at the micro level and at the macro level. Often there are just so very few Black women in the room, even when you're talking about a continent full of Black women. The leadership and development circles tends to not be Black women, and it's not because Black women, women of color, are not interested in improving the quality of life or creating opportunities for their communities or for the societies they live in, but it's because we...
I want you to insert white, as we always do, in all of these and tell me this isn't racist as fuck.
I have so many criteria set up to say who is truly a person worthy of being listened to, respected, and knowledgeable on issues. Navigating that space and navigating those gaps is where I find the greatest amount of challenge. I think that there's a culture of, the culture of misogyny has allowed men to act without consequence, and it becomes part of what we believe is normal, right?
That person is a fucking racist. KKK, your skin color tells me all I need to know. Once I know your color, I know exactly what to think and of you and how to treat you. Woke, your skin color tells me all I need to know. Only I know your color, and I know exactly what you think of you and how to treat you. That is literally the most racist woman on planet Earth. Little do they know that it's only the traditional structure that permits them to have any power. Isn't that fucking true? Revealed, Biden team pressured Snopes USA Today into more favorable spin. Thomas Cantor, Fox News, reported on Thursday that Snopes.com changed the rating on their facts check from mixture to false in an article headline in Biden administration banning gas stoves over climate change. Snopes, which originally gave it a mixture rating as a result of Tomurka's statement, changed the rating to false, stating that CSPC is not currently considering a ban on gas stoves. Snopes updated the article, including an additional comment from the SPSC, and downplayed earlier statement. However, Snopes only altered its article after pressure from SPSC to do so, according to email exchange between them and the White House communication official obtained by Functional Government Initiative. Sent over tough letter to this writer yesterday when the initial claim was rated as mixed. Pamela Rucker Springs wrote an email to White House Assistant Press Secretary Michael Kawaka, linking to the Snopes. Kawaka responded enthusiastically, saying the alteration would be so helpful going forward. The initial headline on USA Today by David Jackson, "The Will of the People, Trump Opposes National Abortion Bans and States Should Decide," Gorin called that particularly egregiously false. After 2 hours after the conference call, it was changed to "Donald Trump says states should decide abortion policy, avoid talk of a national ban," without noting the change with the editor note. Mediate reporting it. A leftist site did. "Our mission is to report the facts as accurately as possible," a spokesperson from USA Today told Daily Caller. "As part of our routine editorial process of breaking news headlines, updates are not uncommon. In this instance, the headline was updated to more precisely reflect the stories." But they did not admit that it was precisely changed because precisely the left told them to change it from the White House, which doesn't happen if the right calls. How many fake out? There was 3,000. So how many fake articles on Trump? We used to cover it. "A closely watched measure of inflation remained stronger than expected in March, worrying news from Federal Reserve officials who have become increasingly concerned that progress on lowering price increases might be stalled. The surprising stubborn inflation reading raised doubts among economists about when and even whether the Fed will be able to start cutting interest rate." This is the New York Times. Breaking news: U.S. consumer prices rose 3.5% in the year through March as an unexpected sharp uptick in inflation. But you did not fucking hear that on the main news, because why would we? Then we have this.
We live and work with
fucking dude. And I just want to make sure we understand. We have litigated Russiagate and January 6th to the nines. There is no proof Trump had anything to do with it. If anything, the proof is that he said go and protest peacefully after they were already breaking in the building. Nobody disputes that what happened on January 6th was wrong. Nobody disputes that those people were out of control. People do dispute whether the crowd started or the police did when they pepper sprayed them in the fucking face with CS canisters and pepper spray to get them to fire up. And they literally said that on tape, as disclosed in many documentaries, not by the left. We now know 100% no cops were murdered. Nobody was gored with a fucking fire extinguisher. The only people that died were old Trump supporters, some from heart attacks, some from meth, or Ashley Babbitt, who was shot in the face after a SWAT team walked past her and did absolutely nothing about her because she wasn't armed, and a cop, who then got promoted and has been heroized by the fucking media, shot her in the face as she jumped through a window. When all he had to do was throw her to the ground. If she was black, it would have been an issue. But the reality is, Adam Schiff is still on TV saying this.
So Schiff, we start with you. What are your thoughts as you see this? I guess it's a spectacle that's running a little bit behind, but expected to take place in Mar-a-Lago today.
Well, I think the key takeaway for me is January 6th began well before that last presidential election. The road to January 6th was paved with these lies that began months ahead of time as Donald Trump was essentially laying the foundation to challenge the upcoming election by saying that it was going to be plagued with fraud, that millions of undocumented people were going to be voting, that ballots cast by mail were going to be inherently fraudulent. All of this was a total lie. But it is what laid the seed in American public opinion for his challenge after he lost the election. Flash forward to today, he's doing the same thing, but the stakes are so much higher. The stakes for Trump are higher. The stakes for the country are higher. The stakes are higher for him because the only thing that may end up keeping him out of jail, in his view, is can he get himself back in a position of power to thwart these prosecutions?
Let's do the math on this. The reason why people questioned the outcome and validity of the 2020 election was not that we had anything to do with January 6th. The validity was that we were locked down and they were letting people vote mass ballots. And there's plenty of proof about harvesting, people stuffing ballots. And anybody who stayed up past 2 p.m., which was me, 5K districts said they were going to stop voting for the night. One, Fulton County, which had suitcase full of ballots, vehicles coming in with ballots well after the time, proof that we did not check signatures or postmarks or anything. Proof that people were in an alternate route just running ballots through a fucking machine over and over and over. Suitcases brought out from underneath. And that they stopped counting because there was a water leak. That never happened. So 2 a.m., everything stops. We're being told it's going to take weeks. It's going to be taking weeks. The problem is they said that before, because they already knew the plan. The media was part of it, as reported by Time Magazine, as reported by Molly Hemingway with the Zuck Bucks, them running five districts, putting $500 million into it to let him win in Wisconsin. They were building the case that was going to take forever because they're going to have to manufacture votes and make this shit work. So if you stayed up till 2:30 like I did that night in 2020, what did I see? Biden get 100,000 vote tranches with no increase in other positions. The funny thing is they instantly started saying this is normal. This is very normal. This happens all the time. Some people just don't vote for the other shit, which is a total fucking lie. And nobody had said anything yet. But CNN and MSNBC were already saying it. They're already defending because they already knew the fucking plan. And then all of a sudden, a guy who was in his basement that most of us in America are pretty much 100% sure had a fucking medical emergency, just like Hillary when she fucking face planted before 2016 election, because we found out that she, after the election, that she had severe strokes, she had injured her head, she wasn't well, so she burns in, and the media says it's sexist to say she burned in. Homeboy stays in his basement forever. We don't even see him anymore. He's a totally different person when he comes out. He looks aged, his hair's grayed, he looks unhealthy as fuck at his inauguration. And he can't speak that well, which usually indicates he had a stroke because he's old as fuck. But we covered it up. He gets 81 million votes. 65 million or 66 million for Trump. Or 70. I think he broke 70. More votes than we've ever had. A guy that nobody wanted to be president on the left, but they just let it happen because he had the best polling, so they jobbed Bernie again. He gets more votes than Obama. When people came out of the woodwork, where people like me who early voted saw people come off buses that were not from Montgomery County, voting in Clarksville, African Americans crying in line saying, I've never voted before, but I'm voting now. The most turnout for the POC votes for fucking ever. And he only got in the 60s. But Biden gets 81 million votes. That's why people thought it was jobbed. You had too many votes. You thought you were going to lose. This is no different than Obama in 2012. We sucked the IRS on motherfuckers, and he did a bunch of crooked-ass shit like James Rhodes and started doing all sorts of crazy shit because they thought America was racist and they weren't going to get voted in, so they fucking went bonkers and blocked other voices so they could win, yet he won handily, but they didn't think America would do it because they think America's garbage. And then 2016, they realize Hillary's going to lose. It didn't matter how much they fucking said, hey, she's the most qualified fucking candidate since goddamn George Washington. She makes Obama look like a racist. And she's losing. So Obama sicks the FBI on Trump, but they don't get it in time. Trump wins the election, and then they spend the next 4 years destroying him. They impeach him twice for bullshit Obama did. Medvedev right out in the open. I'm going to do this. Biden on video. I made a fucking DA get fired in Ukraine because they said they wouldn't get their support unless they did it. Yet Trump caused the Ukrainian war. It was well before Ukraine and Russia that we were fucking around over there because the left was over there. Hillary Clinton is on record being in Ukraine during the 2016 election, trying to dig up dirt about pee-pee tapes in Ukraine. The left's got something in Ukraine. We've talked about it. There's something going on over there, money laundering, who the fuck knows? But they're well too invested in Ukraine. Then he gets impeached for that. A phone call when a partisan officer, just like Milley, gets out and runs his cock trap, lies, says a bunch of crazy shit he heard, and they don't really get him. Then they go J6 and say it's his fault. He started it, and they don't get him. But they do it anyway, and they impeach a president when he's out of office. And now they have so many legal tangents on him just so what this guy just said. He needs to get power. They don't want him to get power because they know if he gets power, they're fucked because all this shit's going to get unearthed. We're going to have new people in there. We're going to see this is all bullshit from day one. It's bullshit like fucking Russiagate. It's bullshit about Ukraine gate. It's all stuff they do, but they don't want that guy to get power. And they know they're losing. So all these little, you got to pay $350 million. Get the fuck out of here. And then we have MSDNC. Panel flips over. Suggested ID citizenship checks for voting. Non-citizen voting isn't an issue in federal election, regardless of conspiracy theories. Here's why. That is AP News. Why are they running that? Because people know we've now let 9 million people come in the country that we know about. And in some municipalities on the West Coast, they're letting them vote in local elections. So people are calling it out and saying, what the fuck? So now they know it's happening. Everybody, anybody with an IQ of a potato knows illegals are voting now. It happened in Texas. There's fucking proof of it from 2020, for God's sake. It's happening. People are getting through the cracks. You're letting them vote. And of course they're going to vote for Democrats. That's the reason why they're letting them in the fucking country. We will replace them. That was the New York Times. It's not the replacement theory. It was printed by Jennifer Goldberg in the fucking New York Times. When they lost 2016, replace those motherfucking racists. Americans are racist. Let's let non-citizens come in. Let's take non-citizens and put them in other districts so they rule out the American voters and we'll always win. Even though they know long-term, Democrats are not down with gay shit. They're not, are not Democrats, but Latinos are not down with the gay shit. They're not down with the fucking trans shit. They're not down with the intersexuality. They believe in a God. They're very religious. But initially, you got them their citizenship. You got them a whole bunch of free. They're going to vote for me. So now, oh my God, we've had a lot of voting changes 2020 because the left went overboard. They did too much mail-in. People voted in multiple locations. It's been proven. They found fucking mailing ballots from veterans, military votes, conservative districts, found in ditches, garbage cans, and they unearthed plenty of proof that after the election, they were illegally doing all sorts of shit to get enough votes to beat Trump. Buses, trucks, pallets, no chain of custody. So they know people have changed stuff. You can't do it as easy. You need voter, you need ID in a lot of locations. They ran it as Jim Eagle, but they had more people vote in 2020 and the left still won in Georgia. So now, of course, MSNBC is going to flip.
This is, I feel like I say this all the time, this is insane because it is already, it is,
It is not legal to vote if you are not a citizen of the United States of America.
Right.
Congress has already, like, they already passed legislation for that way back before, you know, I could even, you know, go to school, okay?
Right.
Back in the, like, the 90s, I think they did this. Right, Michael? I don't know. Michael's old enough to be my father. We joke about this all the time.
That's right.
So now, according to, after, you know, Donald Trump and his insurrection buddy, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, after they had their meeting, now, apparently, House Republicans are going to pursue legislation requiring proof of citizenship to vote. My question is, so we're going to show proof to Miss Susie at the polling place?
In the clip, Washington Freedom mocks Trump. I don't know who Walsh Freedom. Who the fuck is Walsh Freedom? I know who it is. Joe Walsh. He's a fucking racist piece of shit. Host White Flag with Joe Walsh, former candidate for president, former congressman. Be brave. For the umpteenth time, if Israel's enemies laid down their weapons tomorrow, there'd be no war. If Israel laid down its weapons tomorrow, there'd be no Israel. Wow, that's actually pretty fucking cool. I'm surprised I saw that shit. All today's cultish Republican Party. Stephanopoulos, will your support your Trump continue if he's convicted? Chris Sununu, yeah, this has been going on for more than a year and the polls numbers never go down. It's true. But in this, he mocks Trump voters for distrusting U.S. elections, saying their skepticism can lead to violence. I'm not a Trump voter, but I don't trust elections in many U.S. states either. And that's because I see how easy Democrats make it to cheat and how aggressively they fight attempts at ensuring only legal votes. Vote. Voters vote. If Joe or any other left-wing talking head wants to restore trust in elections, the first thing to do is have swing states make it as hard to cheat as possible. The refusal to do that would seem to indicate they don't actually support safe and secure elections. Joe Scarborough, Brzezinski parody, a so-called libertarian on state TV, the irony, it's almost as rich as me pretending to be a conservative on MSNBC. But alas, and Walsh will agree, Pravda pays well. Blue states and extreme Democrats are letting non-citizens vote in our election. This is an outrageous, fraudulent, do you support illegal immigration voting in our elections? 5 minutes before the survey closes. We need photo ID for most of the good things in life, like driving, starting a bank account, buying booze, cigarettes, guns, ammo, fuck books.
How is Miss Susie going to verify? Are we asking people to bring their papers? This is America. So I just want to know, is this what all of the House Republicans want to lay their chips on?
Guy Benson, this is very strange. Presenting proof of eligibility and identity is a standard practice through most of the world's democracies. Yes. You do need to show your papers to officially legally vote. Why is this controversial? It's controversial, once again, because it breaks up their ability to replace people. The thing that's so amazing about this is they even fucking say it's racist to say replacement theory.
Even the 18, the sitting districts that Joe Biden won in 2020?
What strikes me is this is the long tail of a long time Republican effort to make it harder to vote, because they know that some of those requirements, you know, having to show a license, they disproportionately impact communities of color. And they what's interesting to me is they also disproportionately impact older Americans.
Oh, yes.
Right?
People of color have to have IDs like everybody else. It is so racist for you to say that a black person can't get a fucking ID. Black people want to buy cigarettes, booze, fuck mags. Black people who are on these poor people that have nothing, because our racist society doesn't let them have anything, they fucking have to have that to get SNAP. Free phones. You have to have it to fly. You have to have it to get a COVID shot. You have to get it to go into a movie theater. You have to have an ID to drive a car. You have to have an ID to go into the DNC fucking convention.
Yes, so, yes. And that's the part that you would think that Republicans would be more attuned to strategically.
But I think the bigger, broader, scarier point, Alicia, is this is all to breed distrust in our election process. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, make no mistake, I still engage with the Republican Party base every single day. I know 70-80% of them don't believe Biden really won, but that hardcore base, the 40-50%, they no longer trust our elections. Trump is doing this on purpose. Distrust then will lead to...
I'm putting a sticker up, but I got this in a freaking cool little place in Asheville. And I like that sticker because I love Linkin Park. Here's the reality, folks. Trump isn't doing it. Trump could not affect voter distrust in this country more than the left did. Who started voting machines? Well, let me finish this. What else does he say?
Violence. It happened in 2020.
Violence. It's always fucking violence. Who brought distrust in voting machines? Which party? The left. After 2000, after 2016, nothing but distrust in voting machines that could be hacked. They brought people in to experts, and I do air quotes, brought people in to say that you can hack it easily. And they had hackers do it. They literally hacked voting machines to prove that it's all bullshit and the right's fucked up. Simultaneously, in North Carolina, the right did a ballot harvesting and they won an election in Asheville, which is liberal as fuck. I saw Planned Parenthood there. Never seen one in person. Folks, they redid it and overturned it. And they said during that time, 2018, that fucking voter ballot harvesting was the worst thing ever. It was un-a-fucking-American. But then they did it in 2020 because they knew that's the only way they're going to win. Trump was going to win. In 16 and 20, if you drove anywhere in the South and the Midwest, all you saw was Trump shit. You did not see Hillary or Biden. People didn't like either one of them motherfuckers. And they're losing African-American votes. Latinx votes are starting to become Latino because they're religious and they're breaking away from, well, you gave me my citizenship, but fuck off. We don't want trans in our kids. And they put the distrust in our system. 2000, Bush stole the election. Supreme Court did. 2004, Kerry got swift voted. Nothing compared to what they've done to Trump. That is nothing compared to what they've done to Trump over the last fucking 8 years. Nothing even close to what the left's done. But you remember that? 2008, Rush Limbaugh was up for president, not fucking McCain. They excoriated a white woman who was really ditzy. I could see Russia from my porch. And they made Hillary to be a fucking racist. And did a whole election on the fact that rich girls going to Ivy League schools, where it's $40,000 a semester, couldn't get their fuck pills because it wasn't free. And then we made all birth control free. 2012, it was 501(c)s on the right, like a whole bunch of organizations on the left, were stealing elections, so we used the IRS against them and got caught. Nothing happened. Everybody walked away. 4-16, we had the witch hunt. It was the most egregious use of power ever when we did the Benghazi hearing, when Obama and Hillary let five people die and they didn't even get the dead bodies out. They motherfucking had Pakistan fly us out. Well documented by the incredible movie 13 Hours by John Krasinski, one of my personal favorites. Surprised he did it because it was very, oh, it's horrible. Benghazi, it's fake. But yet the moment that Trump got elected, what happened? They did Africa. It says Benghazi because a special forces unit got taken over. Through all of this, or ambush, sorry. Through all of this, we have said that war is evil, but Obama killed more people than ever. Kids in cages, that was Obama. You saw it, but you didn't give a fuck. You didn't bring it out till 16. We literally nuked Western Pakistan with drones and killed so many civilians, but nobody said anything about it. They just said he killed Osama bin Laden. Obama did. He got up there, he hey-hoed in. Hey-hoed! The left has done nothing but destroy elections. They put the seed in people's heads. And if you really want to talk about violence, I would like to direct you to the 2000, the 2004, and the 2016 elections when D.C. got burned to the fucking ground one road over. I'd like to bring you to the WTO protests. Like to bring you over to the, what was the other one there, though? WTO protests. There was the Wall Street protests where they were raping women in tents. That was really nice. The Rodney King protests, the Ferguson protests, the George Floyd protests, the fucking women going up there and fucking doing the pussy hat shit protest, the Covington protest. All those are well more violent than J6 ever could ever wish to be. People walk through an open door and walk the fuck out. And now 1,000 people have gotten 1,000 years in jail for what you let people off for the George Floyd. Portland alone, people were murdered in the street, gay people. But because they weren't Antifa, they were pieces of garbage. So nobody cared. We didn't report it. We didn't report anything. We said, you're a racist if you think this is bad. And it set the precedence that if we don't get our way, we're going to burn shit to the ground. And that influences voters. I remember my mom in 2008 saying the following phrase that broke me. It was time for African Americans to have their own voter or their own president. That's why she voted for Obama. If you think that doesn't get in people's heads in swing states, that if we don't vote Democrat, they're going to burn our city down, you're smoking fucking crack. Yet, to this day, the Tea Party was the most violent movement you ever heard in your fucking life. That's all we ever heard. The Tea Party, the Tea Party, the Tea Party. It's nothing compared to Floyd protests, BLM, Antifa. Nothing. It's child's play. And J6 is child's play. People that say in 2020 election was stolen is child's play compared to 2000, 2004, 2012 midterms, 2008 midterms, 2016, 2022 midterms. Every time the left loses, the machines are cheating. It was voter suppression, ID. And every election we go through this shit. It's fucking astounding. Every election. So, that wraps up the important stuff. Last night was SNL. I did not like how my favorite actor's wife hugged that fucktard when they did a segment together. And the hug was way too loving. And it really bothered me because there's been statements that she has cheated on John Krasinski, and it really bothers me that Emily hugged Ryan Gosling like that last night. I thought it was really fucking inappropriate. It was too loving of a hug. That pissed me off because John Krasinski is my hero. But it was funny. And here is a Beavis and Butthead sketch. It's a little long for our I got a new mouse and some reason it goes to sleep. Here's our lighter fare.
Welcome to News Nation. I'm Bobby Moore. In tonight's live stream town hall, we'll discuss the potential power and pitfalls of the coming AI revolution. You won't want to miss this. I'm joined by MIT Dean of Technology, Professor Norman Hemming.
Thank you, Bobby.
Well, let's get into it. Professor, you've been very outspoken about the threat AI poses. Can you explain your stance to the average American?
I'm sorry, what?
Can you explain your stance on AI to the average American?
Certainly. To be clear, I'm not anti-AI. I just believe AI needs to be properly regulated. I'm sorry.
Professor, is there a problem?
Yeah. There's a gentleman in your audience who looks strikingly similar to Beavis from the cartoon Beavis and Butthead. It's just a little distracting.
I'm not familiar with that cartoon, but would it help if he moved seats?
Yeah, that might be a good idea. It's the gentleman in the blue shirt and blonde pompadour.
Sir, do you mind moving?
I'm sorry? Me? You're talking about me? I have no idea what's going on, I'm sorry. What?
Yes, can you move the seats?
Okay, sure, I'm sorry. I've never heard of that cartoon character. So.
And you really never watched Beavis and Butthead when you were a teenager?
No, I was pretty, so I was going to parties and hooking up. Now, Professor, if AI is left unregulated, what is your worst case scenario?
Well, in simplest terms, it becomes so intelligent that it deems humans unnecessary and kills us all.
But if human beings created the AI, can't we just program it to not do that?
Well, it depends. Oh, my God. Are you serious?
What? I think that's a valid question.
No. Now there's a gentleman behind you that looks like Butthead.
Professor, just because our audience members aren't as informed on the issue as you doesn't make them buttheads.
Butthead from the cartoon. He's Beavis' friend.
I'd really like to move on and discuss AI, so would you like him to move?
Yes, thank you. The man with the gray shirt and exposed gums.
Sir.
She's talking to you.
Oh, I'm sorry, me?
Yes.
I am so sorry. I'm confused. I'm just here to learn about AI. But, yeah.
Professor, we have a viewer question from X. At Sandwich 980 asks, does Cornholio need TP for his bunghole?
Now, see, that's just somebody trolling. That's a reference to the cartoon. Cornholio with Beavis is alter ego. He eat the sugar and become Cornholio.
Yeah, I see. Let's move on to our audience questions, starting with Patricia Faulkner.
Yes, right here.
You put them right next to each other. Look, they even sitting like they do on the show. You two really don't know that you look like Beavis and Butthead.
I've heard rumblings that I look like someone from TV, but it's just, maybe it's this Beavis person, I don't know. I don't watch much television. I have an incredibly busy life.
Yeah, I'm very busy too. This is honestly the first time I've ever heard that I look like this Butthead person, so.
Oh boy, for those just tuning in, this is News Nation, not the Cartoon Network.
Hey, they laugh like them too. You hear that?
Ms. Faulkner, go ahead.
Yes, Professor. I'm a speech therapist and I use AI software every day.
Yeah, whatever. How long y'all been friends?
Oh, I don't know this gentleman. Mm.
You don't know each other?
No. Hi, I'm Dean.
Jeff. Jeff, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. After, we'll speak with some gentlemen from Texas who lost their jobs to AI.
So that wraps up another episode of Flyover Politics Podcast. Share with your family and friends. Go to Flyover Politics with K on SoundCloud, Rumble, 482-467. Email the show at FOPPODCAST@gmail.com. FOPPodcast@gmail.com. Next show will be 17 April, Year of Our Lord, 2024. Until then, disconnect from all the devices. Don't give the yeah yes. And tune in for our next Old Dude Music Review tomorrow. Matt in Oregon gave us Greta Van Fleet. That's a good one. And then I have another one. I'm going to be doing country music because I've got some country songs. I thought, well, you know what the hell? Let's do some more country. Because two in a row, Morgan Wallen and Hardy, those are good albums. I'm still listening to them. As always, thanks for listening. Take care.